Coffee's ready. Guest is ready. Let's get started. Okay, cool. Hello and welcome back to the Prodigy Podcast. We are on episode 46 and today I am interviewing the organizer of Ennio Grappling, which is a new competition, an all-female grappling competition. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So as soon as this got announced, I was really excited to see it because we have this growing plethora of female competitors in the UK jiu-jitsu scene, from, you know, white belt all the way to black belt. What was the point? What was the reason that made you decide that you wanted to, you know, organize a competition now? What was that turning point for you?
Well, the competition had always been in my mind ever since like starting Rainer, because I'm not very good at jiu-jitsu. I'm rubbish at jiu-jitsu. But if I can support other women in jiu-jitsu, I will. So that was the point of Rainer. And then the show was always in the back of my mind when I'd started that. But obviously, I didn't know many people within the jiu-jitsu community. I hadn't been training very long. So it kind of just been like teetering away in the background. And then before COVID, it became proper talks between me and a few other people. And then obviously COVID hit. So it kind of went on the back burner again. And then once all the restrictions lifted, it was like, okay, screw it, let's just do it. Because otherwise it's just going to keep staying in the background. So let's just give it a go, see what happens. And yeah, and then it will kind of snowballed from there.
You mentioned it just now. This isn't your first martial arts related company organization, if you will. You have started a brand as well and run competitions before with Rainer. Can you tell people a little bit about that, for those who don't know or haven't seen the brand?
Oh, okay, yeah. So Rainer's just a female grappling brand, basically. We've tried to make sure the cuts of our gis and stuff allow for like bigger boobs or bigger hips and bigger bums and stuff like that, but are still comfortable to wear. We've also tried to develop all of our no-gi stuff as well. So having it completely squat-proof is obviously a must. I've been to plenty of competitions, and when there's lights on and someone's bent right over, guys and girls, like, you can see everything. So yeah, it was just wanting to create good quality products. And to be fair, it kind of all just spawned from my final year of uni. They asked me to make a brand. I'd not long started jiu-jitsu. I was like, oh, I'll give it a go. They were like, okay, it looks good. We might be able to give you some funding if you pitch it. And again, it all just kind of took off from there. So it was never originally a big plan to take on a business, but it's becoming a bit of a pattern now, I think.
when you made that decision pre and during COVID to start Ennio and to really kind of take it on, what were the initial ambitions? Were they as you envisage now, or did it kind of snowball into something bigger?
It definitely snowballed into something bigger. I definitely expect way too much from myself and want things to be like big and perfect and amazing right away. And I've had to have my other half kind of be like, it's your first show, calm it down a little bit. And I'm like, okay. But the outpour of women that have contacted us, not just across the UK, but Europe and America as well, has been insane. I definitely wasn't expecting it to hit a nerve as much as it did. Because, I mean, there are great shows out there that do put on women's fights. I'm not saying there isn't. There absolutely is. I go to quite a few of them. There's some I still want to go to. But I just really wanted to give a platform to women who are coming up through the ranks as well, to be able to show their skills. And it opens them up more as well, so that other brands can see them. It gives them a chance to get sponsorship and, like, grow themselves too. So,
do you think that it was also something of a kind of a right time, right place situation, and not in terms of luck, but in terms of maybe this was a better time now that we've had competitions that, although are raising the platform for female jiu-jitsu now, people are kind of looking at, well, how can we give better platforms? That's kind of on people's consciousness, that we try and give a platform for people who are on the come up, female or male, but specifically, I guess, for female jiu-jitsu in this instance. Did you feel that it was a good time to do so more than beforehand?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the women that do compete regularly, they're wanting more matches and they're wanting to fight different women and they're wanting to get on these shows, which is great. But unless you're already very established and very well known, it can be harder to do that. But then it's that whole, well, how am I going to get the experience if you don't give me the chance kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I guess for me, the show is that stepping stone for them. Rather than it being like, this is going to end up being the biggest show. Obviously, if it becomes a huge thing, that would be amazing. But if it just becomes a show that we host 2-3 times a year, we get lots of amazing women in, and it's their stepping stone to get onto shows like Polaris and Grapplefest and all of those kinds of shows, then it's doing its job because it's highlighting those women that are up and coming. So,
and for you, what's the thing that you've seen in other competitions that have really got you excited? Is there moments or fights that you've seen or aspects of particular other competitions that you've maybe taken inspiration from, or that you really want to kind of bring about the same feeling, the same excitement?
Yeah, I mean, so one show I've been to a lot is Polaris. I'm actually going this weekend as well. And their shows are always great. They always have amazing competitors on there. The lead up to it is always brilliant as well. So I really want to try and, the more established we get, generate similar-ish to that. And then, I mean, Grapplefest, the amount of people that have said to me the vibe at Grapplefest and the energy is next level to any other competition. And you can see it through the video footage. I'm dying to go to one of their ones. In the future, there was one that was the weekend after my wedding and I couldn't quite blag it.
So maybe not quite the honeymoon they were expecting.
No, my other half would have been happy with it, but another one of our teammates was having a wedding that weekend after us as well. So I was like, I can't really ditch out and go. But yeah, the energy and stuff there that they have for their show is amazing as well. So, and we've had a lot of support from the guys at Grapplefest, to a point where they've allowed us to use their rule set. I've had big chats with them. They've been incredibly supportive of us, which has been amazing. So,
and it's an unique circumstance, whereas I guess in comparison to places like the US, where they have a significant number of what I guess professional invitational only competitions, we're still kind of in that stage where we have Polaris and Grapplefest and SGI in Scotland, but we're still quite small. Is that kind of encouragement, I guess, a really good thing? It's a way of kind of knowing that everyone's still, there's no professional rivalry. It's just help trying to get encourage as many competitions out there as people want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think because obviously I'm a woman in jiu-jitsu, the community is much smaller than for the guys. So a lot of us all know each other. We all speak. A lot of the times it's we're mates and then we have to compete against each other, or we're competing against each other regularly because it's still quite a small pool of people. Like, it's growing significantly, which is amazing. But we all have to come together and support each other, whether we have to compete against each other or not. So it's that kind of thing that I think that's helping grow Enyo. And that's the kind of culture I want behind it, because I'm not out there trying to compete with Polaris or Grapplefest or, like, there's Alpha and all of the other shows that are coming up, which are amazing and they're great and they're pushing jiu-jitsu. We just want to be a part of it. That's all it is. So,
And how have you found things like matchmaking for this competition? Because, like you say, the pool is quite small. And I mean, a lot of these people will have competed against each other, whether it be at their current belt or previous. Have you found it a challenge to match people up? Or is it something that you've tried to kind of give everyone new opportunities for, which I'm sure can be difficult, again, given that most people fought each other?
It hasn't actually been too tricky. It's been okay. Luckily, I do have my little team to stop me from stressing out, which is good. But no, it's actually been all right with the matchmaking. And like I say, where we've had people reaching out from Europe and stuff like that, it's almost making it easier now because they just want to get over here and they want to do it. So I've already got like a huge list of women that want to now be on the next show. So I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have to think about that. But it's a good problem to have. And I think as well with a lot of the women, whether they've competed at like say brown belt and now they're black belts or whatever, it's that whole, well, I may have lost against you at brown belt, but now I'm going to try and win against you on a bigger stage in front of people. So I think it helps with the bringing the energy and that competitive nature, and it's going to really push them to try and get the submissions as well, which will be cool.
Enyo has given us something to look forward to, given that we didn't have many competitions to look forward to until recently. But what for you has been, what is the maybe the fight that you as an individual BJJ athlete gets you most excited, or that you're most excited to see? And is there a particular fight that you think people should watch out for that maybe they haven't maybe kept an eye on as closely?
Oh, that's such a tough one, because they're all going to be absolute fire. Like, all of the women that are on there have no like chill button. It's just like which is amazing. But to be honest, I think the kids, because we've got a couple kids matches, one I'm still trying to match, but we've got one that's already matched, and like, kids have no fear and they leave it all on the mat. And I think that's what excites me the most, is watching them be like, okay, I get to now do this, like, not a local competition, it's going to be a bigger one, and there's going to be loads of people there to watch me. And I've had the chance to obviously meet some of them beforehand, and they're so excited. They're just genuinely so excited to do it. And it's that energy that I love. And you know they're going to bring it once they hit the mats as well. So,
I mean, I can't remember the name of the kids. Well, I think they were kind of kids, teenagers. But there was at least one kids match on the Polaris prelims, or the last Polaris. And it was absolute. I remember watching it and just thinking, this could easily be on the you know, the actual main, the main card. And I'd still say, yep, got my money's worth.
Yeah, kids have, they're relentless and they have no fear. So it's like, if it's submission only, they're like, I'm going for that sub, and they'll risk whatever they need to risk to try and get that submission, which I think's amazing. I mean, like, if I go to compete, I'm trying not to throw up before I walk onto the mat. So so I envy them for that.
Well, let's talk a little about you. Every time I talk to a competition organizer, they grimace at the idea that people want to know about them. But for yourself, where was it that this kind of martial arts and jiu-jitsu journey started from? Has it always been jiu-jitsu, or have you kind of has your path divulged into other sports, whether they be striking or wrestling?
I mean, as a kid, I was always very sporty and artistic as well. So if I wasn't drawing and painting, I was generally doing a sport of some kind. Whether that was like basketball or football and like javelin and all kinds of random stuff. And then I got into kickboxing for a little bit. But yeah, and then I actually got really sick when I was 18 and ended up with fibromyalgia. So I was bedbound for a very long time and had to slowly build my body back up from that. And that's kind of given me the stubbornness to be like, right, I need to stay active. I can't get to that point again. And not long after I got active again, I started Muay Thai, which I loved. And then I moved. That was when I'd moved away from Southampton at that point, and then I'd moved back home to be closer to family. met my other half, and he was like, do jiu-jitsu, because he had not long started it. And I was like, I really don't fancy sweaty people on top of me trying to choke me. Like, doesn't
could just appear. Punch him in the face. Why do I need
yeah them? why would I do that? And it took about a year of him being like, just come and do jiu-jitsu, come and try it, come and do jiu-jitsu. So eventually I did it, learned how to choke someone with their own jacket, and I was like, cool, I'm in. Like, this is amazing, I love it. But it's crazy because now I don't like striking sports. I can't do them anyway. I have hemophilia, so I got told that, yeah, a shot to the head could be kind of dangerous, so I steer away from it anyways. But before I found that out, I gave the Ultra MMA a go when I was still a white belt, because I was like, oh, I want to try MMA, see if I like it, and like, this will just be a good way of giving it a go. And I just found that getting punched in the face got in the way of my jiu-jitsu, and it really annoyed me. So yeah, it's just been jiu-jitsu since then, really.
And interestingly, I don't think having hemophilia and elbows is probably the greatest combination.
No, I tend to forget that I've got hemophilia, and I'll do something like I cut my hand with a knife a few months back and just was like, oh my god, it won't stop bleeding, like the sink's filling with blood. And my other half was like, oh, if only you had medication you could take. And I was like, oh yeah, that thing, okay, my bad.
Oh yeah, I've got that.
I just forget.
I bet it's not great with white geese either.
It's where I only wear black geese. Although in saying that, Rain has released a burgundy gi now. So I'm sorted. I'll be fine. Yeah.
Like that is a very specific market of, for those who do jiu-jitsu and are hemophiliacs, we've got you covered.
Exactly. Or if you're just prone to accidents, if you're prone to getting hurt on the mat and like cutting yourself a little bit, you're sorted. Just wear a burgundy gi. You'll be fine.
Burgundy gi, and then one day, if you like stick with it long enough, you might, if you're really, really good, you might get a red belt, and then that's the perfect combo.
That'd be intense. That'd be pretty intense. To be fair, my purple belt with that burgundy gi looks horrific at the moment. I kind of wish I could go back to white belt because it just looks nicer. Every time I put it on, I'm like, whoa.
Just like, I just want to go up. Can I have just a purple, like the kids' ones? Maybe you can have a purple and white one, like with the stripe in the middle.
I'm well gutted that the kids get such cool coloured belts, like the orange ones and stuff, because they just look like Ninja Turtles.
You do own a VJJ clothing brand, so you could create a Ninja Turtle style jiu-jitsu Rain Herb purple belt.
That would be tempting. I might have to.
I'm just leaving there. Patent pending. To go back to Enyo, one of the things that got me excited as well was the fact that you've been kind of announcing bits and pieces, and one of those things is your commentator. So you've got Vanessa English and Daniel Strauss.
Yes.
What's it like to have two people who are both highly qualified jiu-jitsu competitors and also people who have had prior kind of commentary experience and who you know are going to try and bring the excitement factor off the mats as well for people who are watching?
It's amazing. I mean, so it was Dan that actually put me in contact with Vanessa, which is good. He's been behind the scenes a lot, helping me. Because I'm not going to pretend like I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to pretend like I'm like, yeah, this is all like way easy. I've got this. I don't. And I'm figuring it out on the way. And I'm just trying to make sure I cover all my bases. And he's been such a support for that, which has been amazing. And so to have him involved as well on comms with Vanessa is awesome. And chatting to Vanessa and stuff, she's hilarious. She's so lovely. And I think them two together on comms is just going to be brilliant. So, yeah, it's good.
When you're on the day, are you going to find a moment to kind of sit down and just be a fan and be an audience member? Or do you think you'll get an opportunity just to kind of lap it all up?
Probably not, because I'm my own worst enemy. So I work a lot, and I really struggle to shut off, so I probably won't. I've had people ask me why am I not competing on it, and I'm like, are you joking? There's going to be so much going on. There is no way I could do that and compete at the same time. I don't know how to rest. I don't know how to relax. So I will probably just be running around like a headless chicken the whole night, trying to make sure everyone's got everything they need and everything's running. So, I mean, I had surgery 2-3 months ago, and I ordered a laptop from my hospital bed before I went into surgery, ready for when I got home so I could work from bed. And I was on a Zoom call the next morning having a meeting and had to pause it partway through. I was like, just 2 seconds there. They just need to take my blood and do my blood pressure and then get back on. So I just, yeah.
I'm surprised you actually paused the Zoom interview. I'm surprised they didn't hear the blood pressure cuff going.
To be fair, I muted it and kind of just turned it slightly so they couldn't, didn't have to see what was going on. See, I don't really have an off switch, which drives people nuts, but it's how things get done. So
it's what gets clothing brands and jiu-jitsu competitions done.
Yeah. I definitely have my moments where I spin out and I'm like, why have I done this to myself? What made me think that I could freaking do this? And then my other half will be like, right, are you done now? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done.
I'll stop stressing now.
Yeah.
Have there been moments where you realise that you'd taken on, you're going, oh, I'm running a jiu-jitsu competition now. It's like, oh, I may not have realised just how much I was going to do. And then it's like, oh, I've got to go on.
Yeah, there's definitely been moments like that. But I think there's moments like that anywhere in life when you take anything on, whether it's you work for someone else or you work for yourself or anything. My mum always said I can't do things by halves, and she's not wrong. I mean, I went back to university as a mature student with a 2-year-old and I was working full time at the same time. So I just, and then that's when I decided to start Rainer, because it was like, why not? It's not like there's not enough going on. So yeah, I tend to, if I have an idea and I feel strongly about it, I'm just like, fuck it. The worst that can happen is that it fails.
Must have had a free 5 minutes a week that you had and you were like, oh, I'll start a clothing brand.
I normally like, yeah, pretty much. It would just be random things pop into my head. And I'm like, oh, I could do that. That could work. That could definitely work. Hold on, give me a second, and then I'll jump on my phone or jump on my laptop and I'll start researching it, and then it kind of just takes on a mind of its own. And yeah.
Has there been any ideas that although sound awesome, you realize that they weren't gonna happen?
Yeah, loads. Absolutely loads of ideas. 100%. At one point I wanted to open a rage room in Southampton.
I mean, they have one. Someone bought me tickets to go to a rage room.
Yeah, they've got them. I think they're closer to London and Manchester. And I was like, that'd be freaking amazing. I'd love to just go into a room with safety goggles on and smash the crap out of stuff. Like, that's brilliant. And then the more I thought into it, I was like, do I realistically, between the gym and Rainer and Enyo, do I really have the time to be at another location? Especially like I've got 2 kids as well, so it's, they do a million and one clubs too, so it's like trying to figure it all out. And it was like, no, that's really not going to work, so I probably shouldn't do that one. It's like I need to do stuff that I can do from one spot, or like off my laptop or off my phone, and rather than have to be somewhere. But yeah, there's been loads of random horrific ideas that just should never be mentioned.
Oh, I love to hear them, because I think sometimes things sound better than all right, they can't, would never happen, but man, do they sound great. It's great. I think the last one that popped into my head was, wouldn't it be cool if you could do, I really love cooking, so wouldn't it be cool to have a food night, but it was also somehow jiu-jitsu related? Like, whether it was like, I don't know, like where you have go to these kind of nights where it's, I don't know, I'm going to say Turkish because that's the only thing I know. like a Turkish food night where you get to try all these foods, but somehow there's a jujitsu element, whether there was a jujitsu guest speaker.
I think that's a bad idea. I think that's an awesome idea.
Oh, yeah. But functionally, how would that work?
We combine food and jujitsu here all the time. All of the time. I am very much a... So anyone that's been with me to a seminar or an open mat will know that my priority is what food are we getting after. Like, as long as I know that, then I'm happy. I need to just know what food we're getting after. So we did an open mat here for bank holiday. I did half of it. And then while everyone was doing the second half, I went downstairs and fired up the barbecues. So then at the end of it, we all sat down and we had barbecue together. Or the worst one is if I'm cooking Caribbean food and the guys in the gym can smell it. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, well, you know, jujitsu and food, like, hand in hand.
It is the perfect. Also, jujitsu and just general, anything cooked on coals is just like the perfect. Because it's like you can just pull it up right outside the gym and then it's like there for everyone to just. Enjoy.
Yeah, we've managed to nick a couple of barbecues from my parents. So now we've got like gym barbecues.
Oh, fantastic.
That are there. So then we can do more open mats and have those running. And that we always say to the guys, like, families are welcome as well. We just set up a paddling pool just outside the gym and just turn it into a bit of an evening. And it's nice. It's good. It's non-awkward team building.
Food is the great connector of people, food and jujitsu.
Oh, absolutely.
As we're on the topic then, what is the plan? I'm sure it's already been picked. What's being done at the end of Enyo?
What, food-wise?
Yeah.
So we have Sambazan that are going to be there to do acai bowls, which will be cool. But up the road from the venue, there's a place called Mexifun. And the guy that runs it's absolutely lovely, does the most amazing burrito bowls ever. Like, they are my favourite thing in the world. So I've already said to anyone that's coming down, either go there before or go there after, but you need to get Mexican food from him because it's amazing.
And finally, just as a way to kind of get people thinking about, get people excited if they're not already about Enyo, what would you say to them? To what is the kind of tagline, or if you were to summarize Enyo in one sentence, how would you kind of sell it to people, who for those who already aren't sold?
It support women in jiu-jitsu. Like, I don't really think there's much more to say than that. They work just as hard, they train just as long, they compete just as much. So come and show your support for them. And obviously the more support we get as a show means we'll be able to put more shows on so we can get them better matches and push them that little bit further. So, yeah.
And then get a burrito bowl afterwards.
And get a burrito bowl afterwards. Exactly. I could even probably get some delivered in if I ask. So, you know.
I mean, you can't get better than watching some of the best female UK and European grapplers compete whilst having a burrito bowl in your hand.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for recording and sharing a little bit about Enyo, because it's a pleasure to try and support and help people get as many eyes on the show as possible.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. To keep up to date with all our latest stuff, follow us at The Prodigy Podcast on Instagram.